Player Pass, your weekly Xbox Game Pass podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Fouché, and I'm here to let you know what games you should be playing on Game Pass this week. So, you may have noticed that it's just me. It was just me last week, and it's just me this week. And it's going to be that way for a little bit, for the foreseeable future, because Tank had to take a break for a little while, but as soon as he's ready to be back, he'll be back, and we're all good to go. We'll still be playing games together and stuff, and I'll probably be talking about a lot of that, but for just the podcast for now, it's going to be just me for a little while. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully that is going to be enjoyable for everybody, and we'll have a good time with that, and maybe I can get a little help from any of the listeners that we got to let me know what you want to hear from me more often, and hopefully I can do that for you. So we'll just get into some news, going straight into it from what's been going on this past week. But it's been a pretty big week. You know, I didn't have a podcast last week just with everything crazy going on and trying to figure out what we want the podcast to look like for a little while. So with that, there was a lot of news that was able to come out, and I waited like an extra day to record because I was able to see what happened at Tokyo Game Show, and that was a good bit of news as well, a good bit of news that I was excited about. And there were some surprise drops of games for us on Game Pass this week because of Tokyo Game Show. You know, usually about Tuesday every other week, they'll release a number of games, or they'll give the list of games that are going to come out for the next couple of weeks, but they didn't do that this week. So I guess the main reason they did that was because of Tokyo Game Show happening, and they had some surprise drops and also a few games that are going to come later. And of those surprise drops, the biggest ones, I thought, well, the ones that really came out today, it was, as I record this, it's Thursday, September the 30th. So, Unsighted is a game that came out. AI, the Simunum's Files, might have probably said that wrong. Marvel's Avengers, Mighty Goose, Astra Ascending, and Scarlet Nexus. So those six games came out. All of them are cloud, console, and PC games. And I just looked through on my Xbox. I installed a couple of them. And so the ones I'm most excited for are Astra Ascending and Marvel's Avengers. I could look into the other ones with time. And of course, since they were at the Tokyo Game Show, these are very Japanese games. And I'm not, you know, I'm a big Final Fantasy fan, so I'm definitely not against Japanese games at all. But some of these games are a little out there, in my opinion, so I might not be playing them too much. But the Astra Ascending looked like a pretty good, more of an old-school JRPG, and I'm just interested to see what the Avengers game is. I know it didn't get the greatest reviews, and people hate on that game pretty bad, but we'll see. I might be able to play that some and see what I think about that. I'm not the hugest fan of those kind of games, but I'll try that out and let y'all know what I think about it. And there was the whole Tokyo Game Show, I tried to watch it, but as you would guess, it was also extremely Japanese, to the point of it was in Japanese, so I didn't get much from that, so I didn't watch much of it. There was some English and stuff, but they just talked about some localization for Japan, and that Xbox and Microsoft are really going to focus in on the Japanese market more because they're not too big there. So hopefully they change that around and just continue to. I think they really want to grow the Game Pass presence and just get more and more people subscribed to it, because I think last I heard it was around 30 million subscribers. So Japan would be a great market to dive into if they can actually get that. And for Xbox credit, I thought they were already doing pretty well with Japanese games, but today they just went in further on that. And they announced a few more games just strictly for Xbox, working with Japanese developers. But I didn't see anything where they were coming to Game Pass. So yeah, that was pretty exciting. But yeah, that was really all that stood out to me with the Tokyo Game Show. But hopefully, it's still going on the next few days, and it's not going to be Microsoft heavy for the rest of the time. But hopefully, we'll be able to hear some more stuff. And next week, when I do the next podcast, if there's anything else that comes out of that that's exciting, I'll let y'all know. And then another thing, this was just something I saw, and I actually used this recently, but it's to get 3 months of Game Pass Ultimate. You can get that for $29. So that's on a website called Eneba. I'll just spell it Eneba. And so I actually used this one for the prize that I gave out not too long ago, so hopefully it didn't steal my identity or anything. But it did work for our winner, and so that is a place that you can get a $15 off that. It's actually cheaper now than when I bought it. So it says $28.93, quite a random price, but that's what you can get on that site. And you can look that up. And where I found this was GameSpot. Kind of, they sent out a thing to, they sent a link to it, so I was able to find it that way. So if you do want you 3 months, you can get a good little discount on that. And then the last bit of news is Games with Gold. That's going to come out this October. And as always, it's 4 games. And this one, it was nothing I really knew except a Castlevania game. And so those 4 games are Arrow and Hover, Castlevania Harmony of Despair, and Resident Evil Code Veronica X. I have heard of that Resident Evil game. I'm not much of a fan of Resident Evil. I've just never really given those a chance because, as y'all know, I do not like horror games. So that's probably one I won't be jumping into anytime soon. So yeah, there you go. Those games are... Arrow is going to be available October 1st to the 31st. Hover, 16th through November 15th. Castlevania is October 1st to the 15th. And Resident Evil is October 16th to the 31st. You know, I forgot it was October. Wasn't really thinking about Halloween, but that does kind of make sense. They're going more of a horror theme with those older games. So the other 2 games are not horror games, which is a little strange to me, but those games are just about a little bit of racing, and the other one is just a 3D open world. That's Hover is the 3D open world, and Arrow is the more of a rhythm game with a licensed soundtrack. But yeah, that's about all the news we have this week, and I think that was some pretty good stuff that we got to talk about there. And I'm excited to dive into that a little more as we go. But yeah, the main topic of this week is a game I've been playing a good bit of, and that's Hades. Y'all have heard me talk about this one on and off for the past few weeks, and I've been really enjoying this game. It's a roguelike, and there's a good many of these on Game Pass, and I had never been introduced to these types of games before. I can't remember if I've ever played a roguelike before Game Pass, but since I've gotten Game Pass, I've probably played 6 or 7 of them, and this is by far my favorite. Most of the ones that are difficult and you just have to completely start over and just based on your skill alone are a little too hard for me, and I don't enjoy those as much, like Enter the Gungeon, and more recently I played Atomicrops. That one was I was thinking that was going to be a more of a Stardew Valley game, and so that was not that at all. And so I wanted something a little calming, and that was not what I was looking for. But it still was fun, I just wasn't any good at it. But this game, like it's like other ones like Children of Morta, Moonlighter, or Undermine was one that used to be on Game Pass. It's not there anymore. But as you play each run, you can... Once you get back after you die, you can go to like a store and buy some more stuff where you can get a little more powerful for your next run. So it's a little easier. So those are the ones that I'm a little I like a little better just because it's not totally on my skill, which is not that good. So Hades is a top-down perspective with a number of different fighting styles in the game. And so I didn't realize that roguelikes could be so different. But this one is it's top-down, but not like other ones that I played. Like, you're not looking directly straight down on you. It's kind of like you're in a 3D environment, kind of catty-cornered from an angle. It reminds me of like a perspective you would get on something like a tactics game, like Final Fantasy Tactics or something. But it's you have a lot more freedom with your movement, of course. And then so the main objective is just to escape the underworld and get away from Hades, because you're his son, and you don't really know why you're trying to escape when you start. But the story unvolves as you go throughout, and you are able to discover more of why you want to escape. And then when you figure that out, you're just trying to figure out the whole story behind everything. And so that's this game is one that I haven't beaten, but I wanted to get into it just because it's the one I've been playing the most of. And as I play more, I might come back to it and talk about it more on the podcast later on, as I'm able to really understand the whole thing. So I understand the gameplay and stuff pretty well as of now, and I have completed a run through the game. Only one. I've gotten to the near the end quite a number of times, but I'm not able to beat that hump most of the time when I get there. But I'm enjoying it still, and it's a game I will continue to play. But that the story is one thing that I really enjoy about the game. Roguelikes, I usually get burnt out on them fairly quick because there's not something compelling to pull me back to it. But Hades has a very compelling story that I'm wanting to learn more about. And so the combat is very fluid, very fresh, and you feel very powerful, but also mobile. But there's different styles to how you can fight. There's 6 different weapons that you can unlock in the game. You can start out with just I can't remember if you can only start out with one or not, but then you get to unlock them as you go, and each one of them is drastically different. They come with 2 different attacks usually, and maybe more depending on the weapon. You can unlock up, like I said, you can get 6, but as the game progresses, you can kind of even change those weapons' base attacks to something different. So it gives you plenty of replayability in that sense, that you can go about it differently each time you do a run. And it gives you an incentive to pick these different weapons each run. Like, you can get more of a certain item because you're holding the weapon that it tells you that it wants you to use that round. But it's also, like, you don't have to choose it. It's not like an incentive that's like, if I don't choose this, I'm really hindered at what I want to do because I don't like using that weapon. But it gives you that incentive to learn how to use these new weapons. And because all of them are good, but I've only found huge success with one of them. And I tried a variation on that one, and I wasn't very good at that variation. But I do like the options that you have to be able to try something new and to just really switch up what each run can look like for you. And so these types of weapons can range anywhere from some that you have to be close range pretty much the whole time, or weapons that are distance weapons that you want to stay away from everybody as much as you can. And then there's stuff in between that like one of the attacks is a distance attack, but the other one is just like right up in your face attack. So it just kind of changes depending on that weapon. But there's something in there for all styles of play. And then you also have a spell that you have in every run, and it starts out exactly the same, but as you go, that spell can change, and you can upgrade it, and it can completely change. It can be anything from like a homing arrow to really big burst really close to you, or like a bomb that you throw up in the air and drops further away from you. It damages enemies within a certain range. And so it's very interesting how you can mix up the combat. And as you go throughout a run, like when you end a run, like your setup could be it'll be the same weapon that you chose at the beginning, but it can look like a totally different playstyle with the different upgrades that you get as you go throughout a run. And so I just like the versatility of that. And so when you go through these run attempts, you start out with a random boon from a Greek god that has a different power. And so these boons, they really kind of come out in the Greek god's personality, like what that Greek god represents and stuff, and just how they act, like some of their powers that they give you. Say, like, if Zeus, a lot of his attacks have a lightning ability attached to them, and so forth. And it kind of connects through the other gods as well. Like, Hermes gives you speedy boost most of the time. I don't know a ton about Greek mythology or anything, so I don't know how accurate the game is with these Greek gods and goddesses and, like, underworld people. But even if it's not that true to what the Greek legends were or anything, the characters are very compelling, and I enjoy getting to hear what each of them have to say and just how they respond to you as you go throughout the game. So every time you go through a run, you'll go through these different areas that are varied. You do go through the same areas, at least I have so far in the game. It keeps sending me through the same order of areas, but I've run into different enemies and different traps in these areas too. So the areas that you go through, they're very different in how the landscape is set out in front of you. The enemies are completely different from each area to another. And then also you run into a different sub-boss and a boss for each of these areas as well. Each of my runs have been varied enough to not feel repetitive so far. I can't tell you. I probably have done like 25 to 30 runs so far, and none of them feel too similar to make it start to feel stale. So I was talking about the story in the game, and in my opinion, it's one of the best aspects of the game, just because this genre doesn't usually handle story that well, because it's just kind of hard to really fit in a story into something where you're going to die a lot. But it makes sense in this game, and they do a really good job of explaining, like, when you die and start over. Like, you can't really just die because you're going back to the underworld where you're supposed to go when you die. But so it makes sense that you end up back in the underworld, but as you're trying to escape and get to Earth. But when you start back over, you can have a conversation with each of the people that are in the underworld and just give gifts to them that unlock different charms and stuff for you, and just continue to grow relationships with each of these unique characters. So as you go through each run, you get closer and closer to what the story is actually about, because when it sends you back, you get to hear more conversations, or like a event will happen that tells you why you're trying to escape the underworld in the first place. So yeah, it's just pretty fun to know that when you die, like, it is disappointing to die. Like, you get frustrated with that, just like you would in any game. But for me, like, that frustration goes away pretty quick, because it's like, okay, now I get to have more conversations with these interesting people and further the story a little bit more and kind of pull back the curtain on what's going on. Because I still don't know the full story, and you can tell there's something a little strange about the whole ordeal. So the more you get through the game, the more that stuff is just kind of revealed to you. And so as you play, when you go back, you can also do upgrades when you're in the underworld. And that's what is another reason to get excited about. Not really get excited about dying, but be able to not feel as bad about dying, because you know you can go and get a little bit stronger for your next run and make it a little bit easier. And so there's also, like, you get upgrades throughout each run, because like I said, you start out and you get that random boon from a random god. But each room that you complete, you get some kind of upgrade or another reward that won't help you immediately in that run, but can help you when you get back out. There's things like this dark matter, that might not be what it's called, but it's like this dark energy, or you can get jewels, gems, to upgrade some stuff when you go back to the underworld. Yeah, when you get killed and go back, you can unlock those upgrades permanently for when you're going back in each run. But also, like, you might end up and there's a Greek god that you can talk to in that room that'll give you another boon. Or you can pick up a hammer that will level up one of your skills one level. So say it's just like your special attack does 20 damage, you can increase that to like 30 damage or something if you find an upgrade during your run. And so yeah, it's been a very enjoyable game. I'm going to continue to play it and really dive more into it, because it's one that's really hooked me. And each time I get on Game Pass recently, I'm usually a person that jumps back and forth to games a lot. But here for about the past 2 weeks, it is every time I get on there, I'll either jump immediately into it or be like, maybe I need to play something else. And I'll look for a second and be like, nah, I'm just going to go back and play some more Hades. But I did get a chance to play some other games besides that. But first, yeah, I would definitely recommend anybody that hasn't tried Hades out to try it, because I think it's the best of its kind. And until I discover another game that's like this, that's better, this is going to be my favorite roguelike that I've played. So if anybody has any suggestions of other roguelikes I should play, just let me know, and I'll see if those are more enjoyable. But I did have a chance to play just a few other games besides this over the past couple weeks. And Sable was a game I was pretty excited about. I've talked about it, and it came out this past week. And I played maybe 30 minutes of it. I played it at a time where I wasn't like super wanting to play a game. You know, I just wasn't in the biggest gaming mood at the time. I actually, while I was playing it, probably because I was just exhausted, because I was falling asleep while I was playing it. Not because it was boring, just because I was extremely tired. So I didn't get too far into that game, but I'll definitely play it more. It has Breath of the Wild aspects of it, and that's something that's my favorite game of all time. So I'll play any game that has that kind of stuff. And then the other game I played was Lost Words, Beyond the Page. So this game was interesting. Like, I liked the setup. I played through the first chapter. It's interesting. The premise of it is you're in this little girl's journal. So like, as she's writing in her journal, like she's writing a story and stuff, and you get to like move words and stuff as you're going throughout the journal. But then that's how it starts out. But she makes up this story that she wants to go through, and you become the girl in the story. You get to pick her name and stuff, and like what color dress she's going to wear and stuff like that. And then you get to use the power of words throughout the thing. So like, the first power word you get is lift. So you can drag and drop the word lift over the environment, and it'll lift up certain stuff. So I'm not exactly sure who this game is marketed towards. It could be a game that they really want like a 10-year-old girl to play. I'm not sure, because it seems pretty like it seems like it is directed towards that. So I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it, but like I said, it might not be a game for me. The concept of it's pretty cool though. So I just have that downloaded, so who knows if I'll jump back into that. But yeah, that's really the only two other games I've been able to play. I usually play some multiplayer game, but I haven't been able to play Apex or Rocket League in the past 2 weeks either. I'd say past 3 weeks, so I'm going to be terrible when I get back to that. But I'll get back to that eventually. And so hopefully I won't be too bad by the time I get back. But yeah, that's all I have for you this week. And I hope you enjoyed. If you did, let me know at PlayerPassPod. That's where you can find us. That's on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram. But honestly, Twitter is the best place. That's where I'm most active. So if you really want to get a hold of me, that would be the place I would go to. Or you could email me at playorpass.xboxgamepass@gmail.com. That one I'm also, I get alerts from it, and I'm able to see that pretty quick and respond back to you there pretty easily. But also just subscribe to us on any podcast, anywhere that you get your podcast. Just be able to drop a subscribe there to be able to know when the newest episode comes out. And also, if it is on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star rating and review. That really helps the podcast to grow. And then just tell people as well, if you enjoy this and you think somebody else you know would enjoy it, just let them know. And just let me know what you want to hear from me. And because I might not be able to do as many reviews over the next few months or anything, just because it takes a ton of time to play these games, especially the games I enjoy. But I would also like to know some games. I would like to play some games that I don't necessarily enjoy or wouldn't pick myself, because I know I tend to pump sunshine into the podcast a good bit, and I hardly ever complain about games, but that's because I'm picking games that I want to play or have a desire to play. So I would, if you have a suggestion for a game that, something that I wouldn't normally play from what you've heard so far of me talk about games, let me know about that, and I'll see what I can do and maybe give a review of that game if I play it a bit, or at least just talk about my impressions of that game. But just continue to reach out and let me know what you want to hear, and continue to grow the podcast and reach more people. But I hope you enjoyed the episode, and hope to see you back here next week. Have a great week.